Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Kreitzer. I'm the Vice President of Operations for Autism Empowerment and the Program Director for the Autism and Scouting Program. Autism Scouting Radio is part of the Autism Scouting Program, which is one of the core programs brought to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information both about Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting Program after this broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org, where you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and a whole other variety of different types of social media. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any previous broadcasts in archive by podcast or iTunes, you can get more information there as well on the website. We'd like to thank our last guest, Richard Williams of Venturing Crew 88 out of Aurora, Illinois. He did such an amazing job last time. He's an Eagle Scout. He also is the co-founder of the Venturing Special Needs Venturing Crew, which works on life skills. He's a true leader, and this particular broadcast has had over 1,700 listens and has been our second most popular radio broadcast to date. It's a true testament to his character, and he is definitely a leader in the making. He's already a wonderful leader, but it's going to be has a long, bright future in leadership, I'm sure. I wanted to highlight a couple of upcoming shows before we get to today's guest. On Friday, February 1st at 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 for those on the East Coast, and 8 in Central Time Zone, we'll be talking about the new Autism Scouting Leadership Kit that Autism Empowerment is developing. We're going to be talking about the process, the vision for the kit, the goal for the kit, when it's coming out, where we hope the units units can start ordering the kits, and all of that whole thing, and also the first Autism Scouting Training Conference, which will be held in Vancouver, Washington. I believe it's the second or third weekend in November, and we'll be giving those dates out on Friday as well. Then on Wednesday, February 6th, we have Linda Ann Horvath. We'll be talking about her journey in scouting with her twin boys that are both on the autism spectrum. Both boys actually have their own show scheduled for February 20th, so that's going to be double the fun, so you'll want to tune in for that. Then on February 10th, we have an autism and scouting content where we're going to talk about transitions. It's kind of a time of year when a lot of Cub Scouting units will transition their Weeblos to Boy Scouts, but transitions always happen in both Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and all of the different units, so we just thought that'd be a good time to kind of throw out some good content to help parents and scouts in their transition. Today, though, we have a return guest. I've always loved reading his emails when I get them. And when they come in, I'm like, what does he have up in his sleeve next? He's a true advocate for both those on the autism spectrum and with special needs. We love bouncing ideas off of each other as well. We have back on air the creator of the Great Race to Autism Awareness, many autism and ADHD trainings. He's the district special needs coordinator for the Firefox District, which is in the Three Fires Council in Illinois, and is actually the father to our last guest, Richard Williams. So you can kind of figure out where his leadership skills came from. Williams is an amazing scouter, a huge supporter of what we're doing here at Autism Empowerment. And again, the brains behind a new position that's being tested in his area, and it's a really kind of a unique area, position. Today we'll learn about the position within scouting called the Unit Special Needs Coordinator. After the show, we'll be posting his one-page summary of his program that he has, and you'll definitely want to see what the whole summary to the whole program is. So welcome, Sean.
Well, thank you, John.
It's always a pleasure to have you on air with us, and again, you're always welcome to come back and talk about anything that you have going on, so welcome again.
Well, thank you.
For the people that out there that don't know who you are and kind of don't know your background, can you give a little bit of background of your journey up to this point, just kind of for people to understand where you're coming from as far as creating this new position?
Okay, well, as you, if you've listened to the previous podcast, my son Richard is on the autism spectrum with Asperger's, and so I got involved in special needs and scouting after he got diagnosed with autism. And after a while, I was asked to join or start up a district special needs committee in our district. And as we've kind of gone along, we've looked at what was out there for special needs, and as a committee, we kind of sit down and, you know, we try to figure out what can we do to make things better for the scouts and for the leaders and the families. And one of the things that came across working with families on the spectrum and leaders dealing with kids on the spectrum or ADHD or any other special need is the coordination between the unit and the families and the scout. A lot of times it tended to get lost, you know, misunderstandings, not understanding exactly what the scout was going through. So we sat down and tried to figure out how we could make this better, and we came up with a committee position called the Unit Special Needs Coordinator. And
go ahead.
Okay. And what we've tried to do is we started in our district, and we're just getting it going, and we're getting units to sign up and designate a coordinator for each unit to do this.
About how many units have you had come or sign up so far?
We've got about 4 units so far, but we just started advertising it this last roundtable. So we got a lot of these were out that they say, okay, we'll contact you as soon as we have somebody. So I should have some more by this next roundtable.
And for those of the you don't know, a roundtable is it's a monthly meeting where the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts, Venturing Crew all come together. Their leaders come together so they can exchange ideas and basically strengthen the council that they're currently working in. As far as what are some of the responsibilities, or you have a mission statement for the unit or for the position?
And it's kind of our council's mission statement about. You're going to post it up on the webpage,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I won't read it word for word, but it's basically in the mission statement, and in this case for Three Fires Council. It just states what the special needs committee is, you know, their job or what their mission is to do about including inclusive scouting program for all youth and welcoming place for all special needs youth to come. And that is, you know, basically the gist of it, and to educate the council scouting units, the organizations, the individuals, as well as the families, that there is special needs scouting program and that scouting is open to everybody.
And are there specific? Can you go over the different specific responsibilities?
Oh, absolutely. We have a number of responsibilities of what the unit special needs coordinator would do. Before I do that, I would like to say that a special needs coordinator can be a leader, a parent, an adult mentor. You know, it can be anybody. It could be just a parent who isn't doing anything in the unit and they want to help coordinate. Ideally, it may be someone who's a parent of a special needs scout themselves that's already in the unit. But some of the responsibility is to act as a liaison between parents and leadership. So when you have an example of that would be if you have a new family coming into, let's say, I'll use the troop as an example. You've got a new family coming into a troop. Well, you would have that coordinator sit down with the scoutmaster or troop leadership and the family and go over what the special needs of that scout are so that everybody understands the strengths and the weaknesses of the special needs scout and how they can help make that Boy Scouting experience the best that they possibly can for that scout and for the family.
That's real important because a lot of times, you know, I hear a lot of times scoutmasters don't even know what youth in their particular unit have a special need in some cases.
Right, and then you get misunderstandings where, you know, they don't understand what's going on, and then the scout gets upset, the family gets upset, and before you know it, the scout's out of scouting. And this is a way to kind of help facilitate that when there is a problem, it can be addressed right away. And it's also a way to help the scout and the family feel comfortable coming in, you know, as they ease in. Because when you come either from a pack to a troop or even just coming straight into a troop, it's a big adjustment, you know, and especially so for somebody with a special need.
Absolutely. That's why I think, you know, again, this time of year, that's why we're going to be doing our special coming up, I think on the 10th, talking about transitions, because transitions are so huge, not only in the school setting, in scouting, there's transitions as well.
Oh, yes. There are a number of them.
So let's go over the responsibility. But that's great. That's great background information, because that's important for people to understand that this is something that a position that can really assist the whole unit.
Right, and then another responsibility is to act as a liaison between the unit and the council or district special needs committee, depending on the council or district that you're in. Some may not have a district special needs, in which case they'd coordinate directly with the councils. But it's kind of to get an open line of communication to let the council or the district know, okay, this is what our unit needs. We need some training on autism, or we need some training on ADHD awareness. And at the same time, the council or the district can be going, hey, we got this new great training. You know, we want to make you aware of this, that, you know, we can come in and do this for your unit. And so it kind of gets everyone on the same page to what's out there. You know, a lot of times you'll hear, oh, I didn't realize that was available. And this is kind of a way to open the lines of communication and get, you know, besides getting stuff from the unit to the council on what we need, it also allows the council and the district to get down into the unit and say, hey, we have this. We want to help. And so, you know, it's been very hard, especially from the council end, trying to get information down into the units, and this is kind of a way to, you know, kind of have a communication line into the unit.
No, absolutely, and because I find that as well, where they may, you know, where it's needed the most is at the unit level, but yet you have all of this information at a different level, they're not communicating with each other.
Right, and there could be information that they really could have used in the unit. And vice versa, there could be information that, you know, okay, here's the unit, we're dealing with this, and the council has no clue that, oh, you know, this is going on. So it's a great two-way communication.
Absolutely.
And then another responsibility is to encourage parent involvement. You know, encourage the families of the special needs scout to get involved. You know, you don't have to be an assistant scoutmaster. You don't even have to be a committee member necessarily, but get the other parents involved in helping maybe with just an activity or volunteering to be an advisor for a patrol that, you know, there's some special needs scouts in, you know, to kind of help, you know, keep an eye on things and help guide them and in a way help educate the other kids in the patrol, because sometimes the other kids in the patrol don't realize, and this is where it becomes sticky, where the parent has to kind of let the unit know, okay, yes, we don't mind that, you know, that everyone knows about the special need, and some do mind. And that's where the coordinator can kind of say, okay, we can let people know about this. The scout, they do not want this disclosed. So that's another thing that the unit special needs coordinator can coordinate, because you have to respect the parents and families' wishes on whether they want to divulge the special need or not.
That's great, because actually I had thought about a question this morning. Actually, Karen had thought about a question about how is the position going to protect the privacy of the scouts and the families, and that kind of they would be the gatekeeper of that information.
Correct.
In
yes.
Gotcha. So they would know what the wishes of the parents were versus, if they want what type of information can be given out and whatnot.
Right, and that's the go-to person to find out if this is okay to talk about this or no, this isn't. This has to stay strictly in the adult leadership or, that's another thing that the unit special needs coordinator would coordinate.
Excellent. What else do you have? I know there's a couple other things.
Oh, yeah, there's a few more. There's provide support for special needs scouts and their parents during the Weevlos to Scout transition. Weevlos to Scout transition is kind of a difficult process. It's a new process where they go out and they visit the troops and they go on an outdoor activity. And it ideal situation, if you have a unit special needs coordinator in the PAC and you've got one in the troop, they can also talk with the units they're going to visit and say, okay, we got so-and-so coming over, and they may even accompany them, which would be ideal, to kind of help, allay any fears and kind of smooth the way, because it's going to be a new experience for them to experience, and having the unit special needs coordinator helping coordinate that is going to make it a much smoother transition for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And another one is to make unit leaders and parents aware of special needs resources. So when we're talking up a couple points where the council's communicating down to the unit, well, when they say, hey, we got this, that's when the unit special needs coordinator is going to take it to their committee meeting or the committee chair and say, hey, the council or the district's got this new program. I really think we should look into getting this training. They'll come out and do it for our leadership on a night if we set it up, so they can kind of, or let know, hey, there's all this new, there's this new information on autism and scouting, or there's some new information on ADHD mm-hmm. or bipolar for scouts, we should look at this.
No, that's awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I'll let you go, because there's, this is all great stuff.
Okay. Another one is it'd be ideal if they could attend the special needs training opportunities. Let's say the council's having or the district's having a ADHD awareness training, is to go there and get that so they have that information to bring back. A good example is going to a training academy. Some people call it Powwow or a Baden-Powell University. There's different trainings where they could get this training and bring it back. And a lot of times they can bring back the actual training, the actual slideshow, and be able to show it to their unit. So they can go and get those opportunities to get more training. Or if they have, like in our council, we have once in a while a special needs roundtable just on the topic of special needs. We had one recently about advancements. And what the people did is they came, they took the information and took it back to their units. And that's another example where a unit special needs coordinator could get that information, bring it back, go through it. There may be some that doesn't really pertain to their unit, which is fine, but there may be some that say, oh, we've got kids and families that could really use this information and leaders. And so they can kind of go through all that and get that training and, to help them better relay the information to the unit. Another one is to facilitate opportunities about learning about special needs for leaders, parents, and scouts. That may mean maybe bringing in an outside speaker once in a while to talk about a special need or a disability or, anything like that to keep the awareness up in the unit that there are special needs out there and, increase their sensitivity to it. And then promote awareness, inclusion, and opportunities for youth with special needs. If there are special events coming up for special needs scouts, they can let them know. Or, like when we did that great race, they could let them know, hey, this is a great opportunity for the scouts to learn about autism and kind of experience some of it firsthand. Stuff like that, just to kind of raise the awareness level in the units.
And now those are the responsibilities of the position, and then they would report back to the committee or be responsible to the committee, correct?
Yes.
Is that your vision?
Yes, that's my vision. They would be a member of the committee. And the nice thing about this is it's not a position that you have to really wait for like a BSA approval, because with committee positions, you can make them whatever you want. You know, you can have in a pack, you can have a committee position of snacks for pack meat, you know. I mean,
right.
So you have a lot of lateral. So that's why we went this direction after talking with my district executive, and we kind of put this together because I wanted to make sure this was okay to do. And then there are some other things. Those are the responsibility of the unit special needs coordinator.
And the responsibilities of the district and the council back to the units, correct?
Correct. And some of those include providing guidance and training opportunities for the unit special needs coordinator and their unit. The council, you know, it's not a one-way street. It's a sharing of information and knowledge coming back. So the council should, and district, where it's appropriate, should be providing that training opportunities, letting them know and going to the coordinators, sending them out emails or going to visit the units and say, hey, Training Academy is coming up. We got a great thing on special needs and advancement. You know, you really should check this out. Or, you know, like when Bookshare came out, you know, letting them know, hey, this Bookshare, if you've got kids with reading who have problems reading, this is a great, you know, program for audio. And being able to make them aware for that and supply the, you know, the training opportunities and the guidance. You know, if, let's say, a coordinator is having a problem, you know, not knowing what to do with a specific incident, then they should be able to go to the council, and then the special needs council committee, and they'll provide guidance for them. Okay, this is what you can try, you know, or this is something we suggest you try, you know. So there's a place to go if you're having a problem, you can get an answer.
Right.
And then supply support materials and resources, you know, providing, you know, slideshows, brochures, different training, you know, besides the training stuff, but, you know, stuff on how to handle certain situations. There's a big special needs book that is out there. It's online. It's 100-and-something pages. And it's very lengthy, and it's hard to digest. But if you got, like, a specific special need, it's great to go to as a reference and go to that special need. And they've got some tips and hints on those. Those are some of the things that the council can provide down into the unit, or tell them where to get this. And you can get it free online, or you can pay for it in the Scout store. I get it free online. And then it also provides a network of Scouters with experience and common interests to support and coordinate their event. And I bring up, like, when we did that special needs roundtable, there were people there, and they were sharing experiences and ideas and kind of feeding off each other. With that, you know, when you come to a special needs committee meeting, that's what you're going to get. You're going to be able to get information and share and find out, hey, this was really working over in my unit. Maybe I should try this, you know. And that gives, it's nice. And it's also, you know, sometimes when you're up against something and you're not quite sure what to do, it's nice to know there are other people that you can go to that kind of share the same experiences with you.
Oh, absolutely. Just for those folks out there, the manual that he's referencing is the Scouts for Youth with Disabilities Manual. So that's the actual official name of the title of the
Thank
manual.
Thank you. I couldn't pull the trigger on the name.
That's okay. I knew exactly what you're talking about, and I brought it up because I do have a soft copy as well as a hard copy as well. This is great because what has been the response from, you said you brought your district executive and you presented this to them, and what was his response?
She looked it over, and also my district commissioner was in on that, and they looked it over, and they both loved it. And I then took it to our new council special needs chair. And after she read this, she decided to use this for the whole council. But the response we're also getting from the units as we're handing these out is there's a lot of people like, oh, this would really be helpful. And so we're kind of excited that we're getting that kind of response. And I can't wait for roundtable to see how many coordinators I've got.
So basically you're trying to get that for the whole council, not only just your district.
Yeah, it started out as a district thing. Then, like I said, our special needs council person read it, and then she decided to take this council wide. So right, and so we're already going council wide with this.
And have you approached the idea of bringing this to the national, or do you feel this is going to be more grassroots from the kind of like the bottom up?
Well, I think this is going to be grassroots, but the nice thing about it is my council's special needs chair is on the national committee, so it's already getting exposure into there. So I'm hopeful that eventually it could go. But it doesn't even have to wait for that, because if somebody, you know, if somebody's listening and they'd like to do that in their council, take the document. I'll give you the non-PDF or unconvert the PDF and change the council name and the mission statement and the names and go ahead and use it.
What we'll do is we'll actually, both on the Autism Scouting Facebook page and on the Facebook group, we'll post the Word document up there so people can download it. And what we'd ask people to do is write in and let us know who's using it, so we can pass that information back to Sean and get the feedback to you.
Right, yeah, and if you've come across something and say, hey, this would really help with this, let me know, because like I said, this is new, so, you know, obviously it can evolve some more. So, and we're not afraid for any feedback, you know, positive or negative. You know, we want to make this the best we can so that it helps the families, the scout, and the unit to, you know, make the experience for the special needs scout the best it can be. Because they can do all of this. The approach has to just be a little different.
Right. And will the coordinator then, if there's like for Boy Scouts or venturing, look to help coordinate if there's an accommodation or if there's an adaptation to a requirement?
Yes, they would be involved in that. They would help be the go-to person between the unit and going to the district, you know, as far as the accommodation, and then from the district it goes to the council.
Right. But for just a general accommodation, that can be done at the unit level.
Right, yes, especially in the Cub Scout program. That's a lot easier to do. When you get into Boy Scouts, when you go to change your requirement, then that gets a little more involved with approvals.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about changing the requirement, but just giving them an accommodation to complete the requirement.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I know what you're saying, yes.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people that say, you know, that talk about accommodations versus getting it changed. Where there's some philosophies where people think, oh, we can just give the scout an accommodation to help them complete the requirement.
Right. Yeah, when you look at the requirement, and a good example is, you know, like a swimming one where it says dive into water over your head and swim, I think it's 25 yards or something like that, 50 yards. It doesn't say anything that you can't have a PDF on when you do that.
Right, exactly, or a kickboard.
Right. So that's an accommodation that you can make at the unit level that doesn't require an approval.
And you foresee like the coordinator being involved in those decisions and helping in those particular cases as well, correct?
Right. Yeah. To have a voice in that, and you know, to advise and you know, even give suggestions on how that accommodation can be met. And the nice thing is with that coordinator, if they're not sure, they can come and ask the district or the council special needs chair, and they can give them some guidance on that.
What's your vision? What's your long-term vision for the program? Do you see this going across the country or the world?
My long-term vision for this is, yeah, that it could be used by units all over the country and across in the other side of the ocean. Absolutely. I think it's any tool that we can give the units, the scout, and the family to make it better for them. I think we have a responsibility to do, and I really think this helps, especially with one of the hardest things to do is to get special needs information down into the unit level, and I think this really helps do that.
I totally agree with you on that, and I could perceive this being even cross scouting platforms, if you will.
It can be used by Girl Scouts or, you know, like I said, this is information, anybody can use it, you know, and I hope they do.
And we definitely will be promoting because it's such a valuable tool. We see it as a valuable tool. Is there any other things that you want to talk about specifically in relation to the program? go ahead.
Oh, well, and one of the other things, the last thing on the council and the district support was to promote special need events inside and outside the district and council. If there's something going on for special needs and it's not scouting related, that doesn't mean they can't be promoted, you know, and let them know that, hey, this is an opportunity that you may want to look at. Or it may be inside, like, you know, like the Great Race to Autism Awareness or something else along those lines that, oh, here's a great event, you know. Another one would be the Lights Up, Sound Down. Promote, you know, they should be promoting and letting units know, hey, this is a good thing to let families know that they can go do. You know, maybe a den can do this as an outing, you know, and be able to go to a movie with somebody on the autism spectrum because they have the Lights Up, Sound Down program.
Right. That's perfect. One thought was, which I just lost, great, was to be able to come up with the question that I had, but I lost. I wanted to let people know, for people that don't know about the Great Race to Autism Awareness, we actually did a show on this particular event. Sean is actually the creator of this event. It was to bring awareness to scouts who didn't know, or to give them exposure to what it might be like to have autism. And there were several, I think, 10 different stations?
Yeah, there's 10 different stations if you count start and finish.
10 different stations, and you'd go through. There'd be one that dealt with audio, one with dexterity, one with vestibular. It would, I think there was a smell one, the taste station, and it would go through the whole thing. And we actually have all of those documents on both the Autism and Scouting Facebook page and group as well, because we love that, what he did with that as well. So.
And actually, Richard has added another level to the smell station besides the candles. He is, after going shopping for his sister for Christmas, we were in the Bath and Body shop, and it was driving him nuts, and he saw the little test strips they were doing, and so now he's added perfume on those little white strips as another possible smell experience for people to, you know, a little more of a stronger smell than the candle.
My wife has Asperger's, and we lasted maybe all of like 3 minutes in that store.
and it comes out with you. It's like on your jacket.
We're actually looking to hopefully do something similar to what you did to promote that to the general public as well, because what that particular program was again, it's very strong, very well done, and a great tool to bring awareness for autism and autism, I don't want to say disabilities, but autism conditions that are caused, the different sensory issues.
Right. And to bring the more that people are aware, it really changes how they perceive and how they deal with the scout on the spectrum with the sensory issues. And it really, to live it just even for a moment, it really opens a lot of eyes. And that's what I really enjoyed about it, were the aha moments that you saw.
So definitely check out those. And you know what? We should probably have you back on and just talk about that, because I love that program. one quick question.
Sure.
So do you perceive any type of special training for the coordinator position, or
yes, there will be. I'm actually working on a slideshow for that right now that'll kind of go into each one of these responsibilities and give a little more, flesh it out for people, you know, and something that can be presented at a training academy or in the council for special unit special needs coordinators. I should have that finished shortly.
No, we'd love to see that, and we'll definitely get that posted up as well. Once you have that, because I think that'd be a great class at the university as well.
Oh yeah.
I'm just trying to think. I think you did a great job explaining this. If anyone has any questions for you, specifically, you can either contact us through Autism Scouting, and we can get you connected with Sean. But otherwise, we'll definitely post the information up on the website, on the Facebook page. In about a month or two, we'll have our own full website for Autism and Scouting, and we'll definitely put it there as well. So, I just want to thank Sean again. Please thank Richard for coming on. He did an awesome job as well.
All right.
We will definitely be talking to you again.
Okay.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay, thank you, John.
We want to thank everyone for tuning in today, and hopefully you learned about this wonderful new program. Again, come back and check out the documents. Hopefully we'll be posting this this evening, and have a great day.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Everyone have a great day.